Welcome to NFT Heat. We're bringing the top NFT thought leaders straight to you. If there's something you enjoyed on this episode, and we really hope you did, please take a screenshot of the episode and make sure to tag us on Twitter at NFT Heat. We really appreciate your support, and you are the only reason we're growing. So to help us, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll then give your review a shout out on a future episode. Welcome to NFT Heat. Whether you're inside the industry or new to the NFT space or an NFT OG, we're going to provide you with the necessary NFT alpha to crush. We're bringing the top guests and deep diving how NFTs will transform the metaverse, DeFi, and social tokens. I'm Justin Shankaro, the king of alpha. John?
Sure.
It used to be an enthusiastic yes. Then it was like sure, and now it's like a sure. So look, I'm still getting a sure, so I'm still calling myself the king of alpha. According to John, the NFT machine, who's getting up at 4 a.m. every day in the trenches. He was an executive in the design space and now a massive Web3 entrepreneur. So cool. John, you know, child actor, adult actor, NFT entrepreneur, and we're in the trenches together building this. What's happening new in the NFT space today?
I think we have two guests. We have this fly that keeps buzzing around the studio, and then we have Tuam. But yeah, so what is going on? I actually just did a post on LinkedIn just about how we started this podcast a year ago in our closets.
Right.
And now we're on Altered TV and over 65 million homes. It's crazy. Like, it is. This is the power of Web3, what can happen in 1 year.
1 year from our closets to 65 million people. It's insane.
It's insane.
Like, it's amazing.
Anybody that's wondering whether to jump into Web3, like, just look at our stories.
Do it. We had no idea what we were doing before, you know, a year and a half ago in the NFT space, a year ago before we started doing this podcast, and here we are on television. It's amazing.
Yeah,
if we can do it, you can do it.
And I'm pumped for today's guest. We actually went to grad school together at USC, but we can get more into that in a second. So
Very cool. Well, as you all know, we're two NFT insiders bringing in the top NFT thought leaders to provide the emerging trends and alpha in 30 minutes or less. And today's guest is a good buddy of John's from grad school, a brilliant mind in the Web3 space. We're super excited to have Tuam Holmberg, the founder of Collector, which is transforming the collectibles market by integrating physical ownership with Web3-powered digital marketplaces built on Solana. And Tuam came all the way down from San Francisco to be on the podcast in studio live here with us. Tuam, welcome. Come on set and let's bring you on the podcast.
Hey, Justin, nice to meet you.
You too.
What's going on? Good to see you.
We're going to give you the hot seat. I'm moving over.
Wow.
Yeah. You're taking the seat.
Oh boy.
Welcome. What do you think of the studio?
It's wonderful.
Is this cool or what?
I believe this will be potentially one of the last episodes in the studio. We're going to potentially be getting a new studio.
That's right. So, the studio is going to have a little upgrade and some exciting things coming, but I love this set. I love our studio.
I love it.
The crew, everybody is sensational.
Best crew in the world.
The best. All right, Tuam. We like to get into a 5-question lightning round to provide alpha to our listeners. John knows I love my alpha. John, what is the first question for Tuam?
All right, Tuam. What is your favorite Discord?
Oh, that's an easy one. I'm not going to give an obvious Discord, but I think my favorite one right now is called Star Launch. And the reason why I love Star Launch is the community is just dope. It's the best community ever, and they really love what they're doing with NFTs.
Wow. What is Star Launch exactly?
It's a launch pad on Solana. So what they do is they have a really cool mechanism to keep it fun, to let people come on and basically get involved in projects, learn about the projects, learn about Metaverse and Web3, and it's a super cool way to interact with the community.
Ooh, that's good Discord alpha.
Very good. Very cool. Okay. What is your favorite NFT and Web3 project?
Oh boy. I mean, I have to go OG. I'll give a slightly different answer too. OG, you know, CryptoPunks just kind of like really, when I think about the innovation, when I think about that invention that they did, the hair just literally goes up like lightning bolts come and hit my arms. And, you know, punks are just great. But in terms of like alpha, which we're going for, I think, you know, I have to give a shout out to UFO. UFO is a meme coin that basically launched about 12 months ago. And they've built such an incredible community. They're not really doing any fundraising. They're not doing anything. They just put out this meme coin. And now they're doing NFTs. They're doing Metaverse. They're doing gaming. They're doing pretty much everything. And I just love hanging out on their Telegram channel because all the people in the community are just there posting memes. They're really fun to interact with. So I think they got the community down pat.
All right, Justin, you actually skipped ahead to question four. I have no idea why.
I got too excited with Tuam's answer. I went right to four. But John, bring it back for us.
Okay, so question three, Tuam. Why should people care about NFTs and Web3?
So people should care because, you know, NFTs are basically a way to have digital ownership. And whether that's a JPEG, whether that's your ID, whether that's, you know, your piece in a game or whatever it is, it's a way for you to own your digital asset, right? And think about it right now. Who owns your digital identity? It's Google, it's Meta, whoever it is. Why don't you own your digital identity? And the way that this is going to happen is through NFTs. You're gonna own your own digital identity through NFTs. And you know, the pictures are just brands you're going to stick on you. Your gaming experience, your entryway is all going to be done with NFTs. So that's the future.
Love it.
All right, Justin. Now question four now, Justin. All right.
To four?
All right.
All right. Is it too late for people to invest in NFTs?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's too late for people to invest in some of the OG NFTs unless they have a tremendous amount of money. I mean, what are CryptoPunks going to be worth 50 years from now? I just can't even imagine. But, you know, if you're investing in NFTs now, don't invest because, you know, some star is like, oh, this is my new NFT project. Invest in NFTs that have a community behind it. Invest in NFTs that mean something to you, that do something for you. Because if they're doing something for you, there's probably 10,000 other people they're doing something for. So vote with your passion, vote with your mind, not with kind of what you see on the TV or anything.
Ooh, love it. All right, fifth and final question, Tuam. What do you say to people who say NFTs are just JPEGs?
You know, NFTs are just JPEGs in that traditional sense, but they're ownership of that JPEG, and that JPEG is kind of created with a digital medium. So what I tend to do is I turn to flip it around. I look at their outfit. I mean, you're not wearing a Rolex watch. You don't have a Gucci handbag. But if you did have a Rolex watch, I'd say, you know, that's a $50,000 piece of metal on your arm that doesn't tell time as good as a $2 Casio. Why do you do that? And that's because you feel good having it on your arm. You associate with that brand, and it kind of, you know, puts kind of your cultural persona out there. And for people that own NFTs, you know, Bored Apes, CryptoPunks, these are part of their culture. This is part of who they are, and they're willing to invest in that, right? So yeah, your watch is just metal. Your NFT is just digital code, and your Gucci handbag is just cloth. So, you know, it's what we think of ourselves, and people love NFTs.
Ooh, those are some good answers.
Very good, very good. You brought the heat, you brought the alpha, you crushed it.
All right, yeah.
Up top, that's lightning for you. All right, now we're going to get a little bit deeper. So tell us how you first got involved in the crypto Web3 NFT space.
So crypto, you know, there was a bunch of people that were saying, oh, crypto this, crypto that, and I was watching people buy Bitcoin, and I said, this is just crazy. Who's buying this stuff? And then, you know, as it kept on hitting me over and over again from different places, I said, oh, maybe I'll take a look at it. So in 2013, I started mining Bitcoin on my desktop just to learn about it and just to get into it. And then I think I caught the bug. You know, I got into Ethereum in 2016, 2017. I got into CryptoPunks. I lost money in a bunch of ICOs. I made some money. And, you know, I think I fell in love with it. And at the same time, you know, I'm doing my own thing as a biotech executive. You know, it's a whole other story. But, you know, blockchain really, you know, ignited something in me. And being a blockchain enthusiast, being involved in collectibles and all that kind of stuff, it just made sense. It gelled.
Punk fam, how many punks you got?
I'm not going to confirm or deny how many I have.
I like it. Are you in the Punk Telegram chat group?
I'm not going to confirm or deny that.
All right. Wow. Love it. That's cool.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny. Tuam and I went to grad school at USC. We got our MBAs. It seemed like forever ago. It seemed like a long time ago, and it seems just like yesterday. It's crazy how time flies. But
John looks exactly the same, by the way.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I'll take it. So you've created like this amazing, amazing company. It's like I get pitched ideas all the time, and most of them just they don't click. But when I heard this, it's so clean, it's so simple. So what inspired you to create Collector? It's such a great idea.
So what really inspired me, you know, I was a big Magic the Gathering player in the early 90s. I got into the game in early 1994. And, you know, obviously nobody back then knew what it would create, right? So I played a lot of Magic. I went to school. I sold most of my collection to pay for school. And then when I got out of school, I started getting back into it again because I had the time and people were still doing it. And so I started buying some more cards and doing this and that. And eventually, you know, I had a collection that probably has right now at least 20,000, you know, high value Magic the Gathering cards in it. And then I kind of started wondering, how on earth am I going to get liquidity on this collection? You know, am I going to take the whole thing and box it up and stick it on eBay and somebody's going to, you know, rip me off by 30% for it? Am I going to go in and sell individual cards on eBay? Each card that I sell on eBay took me 2 hours to do. I have to go scan it, to make the post, I have to put it in packaging, I have to go to FedEx, I have to do all this stuff. It takes me 2 hours. And then eBay, on top of it all, charges 13% transaction fees. And I said, you know, this isn't right. And so I felt, you know, in order to service people like myself and a lot of people in my network, it would be important to create a platform that allowed people to transact and trade and do things in a trustless manner. And that all, because of my background in the blockchain as well, that all kind of gelled together and said, okay, blockchain is kind of the ideal solution here. NFTs are the way to do it, because really an NFT in our case is as simple as a digital ownership certificate. And basically what we do is we vault these cards, we give you a PNFT, physical NFT, and then you could trade the NFT just like you would anything else on the blockchain. And the ownership of the card follows it. And instead of 13% fees, we go down to 2%. I know I'm probably jumping into questions, but I'm just so excited about what we're doing.
That's amazing. Incredible. The collectibles market is roughly $20 billion a year in annual revenues. What kind of friction currently exists in the marketplaces, and what's your plan to reduce that friction?
Sure. So collectible cards transact $20 billion a year. If you take a look at the full collectibles ecosystem, things like cards, comics, coins, and stamps, you're talking about $70 billion worth of transactional volume every year. In terms of assets locked into those asset classes, you're talking around $250 to $300 billion worth of assets that are in those four collectibles asset classes. And the major friction that people have right now is the amount of time it takes to transact. It's the transaction fees. It's the fact that, you know, somebody could ship you something. You know, they post something on eBay. You say, oh, I really want that. That's a great price. They ship you something completely different. And you say, well, what happened? And then you have to deal with all of that hassle. Or similarly, let's say you're buying something on eBay and the seller ships you something that they didn't have. Maybe you don't have the experience to even tell what they shipped you is real or not. It's happened to me. It happens to me about 2%, 3% of the time I do a transaction. So this is the friction that we're trying to solve with the blockchain.
Yeah. And also the quality of the cards, because I used to collect cards growing up, the condition's so important, right? And how do you verify that on eBay? I mean, how do you do that? What are you doing to resolve that?
Right. So eBay, you know, they it's called raw cards. So eBay does a lot of transactional volume in raw cards. And the way that you do it is you zoom in on the little picture that's on eBay, and you hope that whoever's selling it hasn't retouched it in Photoshop or whatever. But so the convention now is to basically, if you are interested in getting a high quality card that is pristine, you look for graded cards. And a graded card is basically going to be graded by a third party professional company like CCG. And basically, you know, they put the card in a sonically welded plastic case that is tamper evident. So if anybody goes in and tries to mess with a label or anything like that, it's pretty obvious what it is. So if you have a third party grading company authenticate it, you get the grade, you know exactly what's in the thing. So there's a lot of business on eBay that deals with that as well. So, you know, that's how we kind of get around this quality issue. We're only going to be working with graded cards to start, but we have a lot of plans for the ungraded ones as well.
Love it. Love it.
Incredible. Incredible. Well, this partnership with Solana, that's huge. How did that come about, and why did you choose Solana versus one of the other blockchains?
So, you know, NFTs obviously were born on Ethereum Layer 1, and when we started Collector about a year ago, you know, ETH Layer 1 transaction fees were, you know, to do something like this, to mint an NFT would be like $100, $150, which is just, you know, you can't do that. If you're going to sell a card for $50, you don't want to mint it for $150. So we started looking at other blockchains, like we looked at Polygon and some of these others, and we just felt that... you know, we could go with a Polygon. I think they're a great blockchain, but if you really want to build for the future, if you want to go to the place where you're going to have the highest, you know, throughput, if you're going to have the most kind of projects and gaming projects and card and NFT projects, if you want to go to the fastest settlement time, Solana settles in 400 milliseconds. If you want to go to the lowest transaction fees, Solana's the place to be. And you know, Rust is a fantastic programming language. A lot of people know it, and so the the development tool set that Solana's put out is just excellent.
Mm. Makes a ton of sense.
Wow, cool. Man. Are you pumped?
Yeah, I'm pumped. I love Solana. Solana's great. So it makes total sense. It's great.
Where's your cards, Twan? You brought some cards down, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I did. If Max wants to bring them over, he can. I'll show them off.
Yeah, where's the cards?
We want to see some cards.
Max, where's the cards?
Let's see some very cool physical cards from Magic the Gathering.
Let's do that.
In the meantime, while Max is grabbing those.
Yeah. You're launching a native digital asset called, is it COLL?
Yeah, so we call it the collector token.
Okay.
Most people interact with blockchain stuff through their keyboard, so calling it call isn't really the right way. But if you're thinking about collector and coal, it's very easy when you're interacting on a text message or chatbot kind of thing. So
love it. Uh oh, here they come.
Yeah, we got some cards flying in.
Oh my goodness!
Let's
just
see
on time.
Some of those.
All right, so this is a set called Legends that came out in 1994. It actually was released early June in 1994. And this is one of the most iconic Magic the Gathering sets in existence. And actually right now, Magic the Gathering just released a new set called Dominaria United, I think. I apologize if I messed that up. And Wizards of the Coast actually had a few sealed boxes of Legends in their warehouse. And what they did is they opened up those boxes and put individual cards into the new pack. So right now, if you go and buy some of these new packs, you have a chance to get one of these cards in them. And so you see all the box openings, but these cards are just beautiful. And these bring me back, a lot of iconic history. Here's a moat. Everybody who played back then knows the moat. And then of course you have the three horsemen in black. You got the Nether Void, you got the All Hallows Eve, you got the Abyss.
Yeah.
Here's Abyss, All Hallows Eve.
Chesson's going, yeah.
You got Nether Void. And these cards, they're here. I don't play with them anymore. This is literally treasure for me. And I think, here's the Nether Void. These cards are just treasure. And, I want to protect them. I want to take care of them. And, I drove them down in my car. And these are going to be going up next week to get graded. And then they're going to wind up in our vault at PWCC. So, this is how we do it. I literally can't afford the risk to keep these in my home anymore. This binder, I shouldn't say too loud, but this binder is probably worth around $50,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I was scared to touch it. And you had a coffee cup right there. I was like, wow, man, this is a disaster about to happen. So that's the friction and the problems you eliminate right there.
Right. That is incredible. And speaking of friction, how do you see mass adoption coming into Web3? And how is Collector going to be a big part of that?
Right. So mass adoption, I think, is a great question. I mean, the whole, if you think about, look back to, DGens or DeFi summer a couple summers ago, everybody was there because finally you had decentralized exchange, you had liquidity pools, you had people using tokens to incentivize investment in liquidity pools and that kind of stuff. So you had a lot of interchain kind of stuff, like people on chain were doing stuff with other people on chain. So you can think about it as that is kind of like the base layer. And then NFTs were kind of already happening at that point, but they really blew up, about 12 months ago, 14 months ago. And so NFTs kind of did last year. And where I think the whole experiment is going to go with the blockchain next is it's going to be solving real-world problems. Like anything that we do in the real world where blockchain can make a significant impact, I think there's people working on it. And we're taking that one slice to basically say, there's 100 million collectors out there that work on this stuff. And, most of those aren't on the blockchain. And if you go to some of these people and you say, hey, I'm going to be able to solve this problem for you. I'm going to be able to reduce transaction fees, reduce fraud, make it safer for you to participate in your hobby. Would you be willing to try this on the blockchain? And I think the answer is yes. I mean, if you're trying to solve things and make people's lives better, they're going to try it out and they're going to love it.
Amazing. I'm pumped.
So Twan, how does a brand partner with Collector?
That's a great question. So I think, there's a few ways that brands can partner with us. Obviously, once we get our platform established and once we get a lot of, users and that kind of stuff, it'd be very easy for a brand like Wizards of the Coast or Topps or, Fleer or Panini, one of these brands, to come in and say, okay, who are my whales? Who are the people that have the deepest, fattest stack of my cards? And how do I get them to interact with my brand and ecosystem more? So for example, Panini might go and say, okay, we're going to do a one-night event in New York City. Any of these top 100 wallets of Panini cards are invited to come for free. We have a couple, you know, NBA stars here that are going to sign cards and do all that kind of stuff. And you really could roll out the red carpet for your biggest kind of collectors and fans. And that's kind of on the high end of the spectrum. On the low end of the spectrum, you could use these NFTs as keys to open up certain experiences on the metaverse. So I think, you know, there's a whole gamut of things that you could do for both whales, for dolphins, and for, you know, little tiny goldfish who are just really interested in your brand and product. And so, you know, that's how they can interact with us, because for the first time, they'll be able to take their physical brand, their physical ecosystem, and convert that into the metaverse. And once it's on the metaverse, they can then offer them a whole new universe of experience.
Yeah, I love it. And I mean, I think Mark Cuban and Gary Vee are both big card collectors. So got to get them on
get those whales in.
Yeah, give me a call, Mark. I know you're watching this.
It's his favorite show on Alter TV. I mean, that's all he watches.
He doesn't even watch Shark Tank anymore. He's on that. He watches NFT Heat Unaltered. Love it, Mark. Big shout out to you,
thanks,
buddy.
Mark.
So tell us, what's on the roadmap for Collector for 2022 and beyond?
Sure. So 2022, we're going to do our open beta launch at the end of September. So basically anybody who's out there who has cards, whether they're graded or ungraded, should come to our platform and check it out. We're going to be doing special promotions. We're going to grade your cards for free. We got partnerships lined up with grading companies. We got partnerships with the Vault. You'll be able to come and experience our platform at no cost to you. It doesn't cost anything to mint an NFT. You just have to bring the cards. And so we're going to open that up in late September. Early October, we have some really big news we're going to announce. We have a big major partnership with a marketplace that's well known on Solana. I'm not going to say it now, but you probably can guess who it is. We're going to launch with them our marketplace, and that's going to be our version 1.0 launch. That's our MVP. Mid-October, it should be all out. In terms of next year, we have a really deep roadmap that we have planned. So the first thing we're going to be doing is launching version 2.0, which is going to include collateralized lending. And you know, for those of you finance people out there, you know what it is, but I'll just give a quick example. Let's say you have a Michael Jordan rookie card, PSA 7, you know, worth about $100,000. And now you run up on hard times or whatever it is, and you say, okay, you know, I have this card. I really don't want to sell it. I love this card. Can you go to your local bank? Can you go to Bank of America and say, here's my Michael Jordan card. Let me borrow $40,000. You know, they'll kind of look at you like you're crazy. They'll kick you out. They'll get the security guard over. But with our platform, what you could do is you could deposit the NFT into our smart contract, and you'll be able to borrow money against that card within a minute. And then once you get through whatever the thing you have to do in the near term, you just put the money back in. And the best thing is that DeFi lending rates right now are at like super low terms, right? So for example, you can borrow US dollar coin on the blockchain right now at 3% annualized. That's just phenomenal. There's no place in the world that you can borrow money against your cards at 3%. And that's the product we're going to be rolling out next year.
Huge.
Game changer.
Totally.
Alert. Yeah. Wow. All right, Tuam, where can people find you on social media, Collector, all the awesome stuff you're doing?
Absolutely. Thank you, John. My Twitter handle is at Tuam Holmberg, so it's TuomHolmberg. And our website is collectorcrypt.com, just as it's spelled. And we'd love to see you there. You know, we just launched our Discord yesterday, and you know, we're just getting people on there, so I'm sure you guys will put in your show notes the Discord link and everything. Love to see you. We're doing our beta right now. Come in, join the beta program. Love
Amazing.
To see you guys.
Tuam, thank you for coming in. You brought the heat, you brought the alpha, you came all the way down from San Francisco to be in studio. So amazing. I am like hearing all this about Collector and the market opportunity and what you guys are solving. It's gonna be a game changer. It's huge.
Yes.
This is really huge.
It's exciting.
Very exciting.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate the invite to be here.
Absolutely.
I love your show.
Thank you. We love having you here. And as you all know, stay tuned. Next week, we'll have another NFT thought leader popping in with more alpha. In the meantime, continue learning, growing, and seeking alpha. We're NFT Heat.
A huge thank you to two of the creative engines behind this show. First, to LaFlex for the super smooth intro and outro music. What you're hearing is the song Love to You off his 2019 album, Flex Appeal. And lastly, a big thank you to Bernardo Rodriguez for the awesome logo for the show. You can check him out on Instagram at Art of Bernardo. Everyone, we just want to give you a massive thank you for listening to NFT Heat. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at NFT Heat, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week.